Welcome everyone to the Fantasy Football Profit Podcast. I'm Craig, got Jeff sitting across from me, and today we're going to talk about players we're avoiding in auction drafts this year, and could be for probably monetary reasons, where they're going, what their value is. Maybe we don't hate the player, maybe we do, but we'll talk about some guys. There are two guys I think we've talked about a lot that I'll throw out at the beginning, if you want, Jeff, that we're not picking, but we don't need to go over it as much again. It's really because of contract type situations. Josh Jacobs and Jonathan Taylor. If you're drafting right now, you can't draft those guys. You can't, absolutely. They're going for $30, $40 in the $40 range. They have terrible contact. We don't know if they're going to play. You can't draft them right now.
Yeah. So we're going to take those off the board right now. Yeah. We're not going to talk about those guys, but yeah, they would easily make our list.
100%. You can't draft them. All right, Jeff. So who do you got?
The first guy I'm going to talk about is actually someone I really, really hyped up last year. But at the moment, I just can't imagine putting the money towards Travis Etienne. I like him as a player. I like him a playmaker, everything he can do. But with the additions that they made, not only in the backfield, but with Calvin Ridley, I do feel like they have a lot of other ways to score touchdowns. And even though I think he could amass a good amount of yards, I don't think he's anywhere near that $29 tag. I would much rather jump up a little more, and you start getting into like the Tony Pollard, Nick Chubb. I just think that jump is really, really huge. Or you can move on down, and you can get into like either Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones, Najee, and maybe I don't feel as good about him, but I know the bulk of the load is going to be with him.
Yep.
So when I get here, I'm like, I love the player, I love the name. I look at the price tag and I'm like, I just can never do it. He's just so priced incorrectly to me at the moment that he is going to be a guy that I will end up with on no teams.
I'm with you. I can't see myself taking him like at that price. It's too much. I don't hate him at all.
No, I liked him.
I liked him last year, especially at the price. This year, I don't want to do it. I would much rather save that money and go down and get, like we've talked about, I think we've talked about these same guys in the same situations a few times, but you save that money and you go down and you get a mixture of a couple different guys, right? That's where you get Miles. You could get, for what ETN's going for, you could go down and get Sanders and Walker and then throw a cheap, Javonte Williams at the end, or David Montgomery, or you go Miles Sanders and Alexander Mattison, which are a little cheaper, and at this point, you throw Alvin Kamara in there. There's different ways. I would rather do that than spend it on ETN. Yeah,
I think it's just going to be an annoying year for ETN owners.
Yep.
I think that he'll have a few games where you're like, that is the player I paid for.
Yep.
But the majority of them, you're going to be like, why doesn't he get any goal line carries? Why don't they try to throw it to him in the flat? Yeah, so I think that is kind of where I'm at.
Yep. So my number one guy, my first guy, he's going for $20 right now, and it's Deebo Samuel. I've decided I do not want to have any piece of this. And Deebo has played 4 years, right, in the league? So we were doing a dynasty draft earlier, and Deebo actually got traded during the dynasty draft for picks, and someone was wondering and said something about Deebo's pretty good to trade him. I'm like, is he? Let's think about this. He's played 4 years in the league. How many times do you think Deebo Samuel has finished in the top 25?
Once.
One time.
I'm cheating, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. One time in four seasons, Deebo has finished as a top 25 wide receiver.
But where did he finish?
He was really good that one year.
Yeah, but and that is why everyone's going to hold on
to that. And that's what it is.
But
if you really look at that year, it's rushing touchdowns. Yes. There was yards for sure on receiving too. There was definitely 1,400 yards.
Oh, he was a very good receiver.
He had a lot of yards that year. But let's look at these. Let's look at that anomaly of a season now. When you really start to look at it. So 2021, 77 catches for 1,400 yards, 18.2 yards per catch. Very good number. He had 6 touchdowns through the air. On the ground, he ran the ball 59 times, 365 yards, 8 touchdowns on the ground. It was great. 14 total touchdowns. It was awesome. But you look at the other years. his first year, and he was a rookie, so you don't expect a lot, but 57 catches for 802, 14 yards per catch, so not 18. And he had three rushing touchdowns. He only had 14 attempts. Year two, he got hurt, so it's hard to really say much. But even in those games he played, those seven games, he only had 11.8 yards per catch. He had one touchdown in those seven games, and he ran none in. Well, then 2021 happens, and he goes nuts, right? Last year, he plays 13 games, 56 catches, 632, 11.3 yards per catch, way down. Only two touchdowns. We talked about, like, oh, he's not getting the running last year. He only ran the ball 17 less times in three less games. He really wasn't on. He was rushing the ball similar, at a similar pace. That actually surprised me. If you had told me that, if you had asked me about Debo's running, but oh yeah, they ran him way less in 2022. They didn't run him that much less. If he had played the same amount of games, he would have been very similar in carries. He just didn't get the touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
He was five less touchdowns. And he wasn't getting him through the air. I don't know. You got a guy who's done one good season.
I 100% agree with you. I mean, you know, last season I was completely off of Debo. And I'm still there. And a lot of the reasons you're talking about, not only the rushing thing is very interesting, because I would have said the same thing. I would have been like, wow, yeah, he definitely had way less touches. They didn't. And you can't account for big plays. And that year in 2021, he was just full of them. It was mm-hmm. the best situations, you know, missed tackles, breaking tackles. He is great when the ball is in his hands, but that 18.2 yards per reception is wild. It is so wild. And he had 121 targets. I don't think he ever gets back to that. Number one,
well,
because you also think that year and you're like, okay, Kittle was banged up. Yeah. Ayuk was banged up. You didn't have McCaffrey.
Exactly.
And you had a better quarterback situation. I don't know. Purdy could be fine. He might be as good, but you're always going to have Trey Lance there. They're both young. It is going to be a weird situation, and you know that they can run the ball whenever they want to. It's still San Fran. They're not going to run with Debo. They don't want to. It's just not going
to
happen.
They don't need to.
They're not going to. Yeah, they're not going to amp it up.
They have McCaffrey, but they also have Elijah Mitchell if they need to.
Yeah.
But they don't need to give Debo all these carries. They can unleash that later in the year. Unleash that when you get to the playoff time and down the stretch. You don't need to do it all year. So why waste it?
Here's my prediction for that. I think that he plays, say, one more game. He gets to 100 targets, which would be great. But he ends up at, say, 800 yards with three touchdowns, and he rushes the ball 25 times. And all of a sudden, you're like, what in the world did I pay for? And once again, he's a very talented guy, but he was the second best wide receiver overall that 2021 season. Last year, he did miss a few games, but he was 33. What's the big difference? And the you know, year before that, he was hurt, but his rookie year, 26th. I think we're looking at more of a 20th wide receiver.
I think you're right. And he's going to be very solid, but I don't want to spend $20 on it. I just know what I'm getting. Like, if he was lower, yeah, I'd take that chance. But, man, it's just not – I don't think that offense is going to be that. Brock Purdy is going to be more – you know, they're not going to just – it's just not the offense for it this year for him.
No, I think you can spread the ball around a lot more. And I can't stress this enough, even though they won't use him as much as they used him in Carolina – but Christian McCaffrey is going to soak up a lot of targets. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of times you're going to throw it to him. Yep. And Ayuk and Kittle, if Kittle's healthy, they're going to try to work him in more, because right now he hasn't gotten enough attempts. And you can, if you spread the ball out, you're a better offense anyway. I just don't see it happening. They really had to rely on him, and he came through in a big way. But I just can't imagine that one. But yeah, currently he's going for $20, like you said. So that's what, the 15th? Right. Wide receiver overall.
Yeah, he's finished that once.
Once.
But, all right, got another guy?
Yeah, very similar to that one. I'm actually going to go with DK Metcalf. He's actually more expensive. He's $26. Right now, currently going about the 12th receiver overall. He just hasn't ever done that yet. I'm not saying he hasn't been bad. I mean, we all know that he's a physical freak. He has all the tools to be really, really good. And could he kind of jump his way up there? Yeah, I mean, we saw it 1 year, right? He was, what, the fifth overall in 2020. But the last 2 years, he went down. He was the 10th in 2021. And last year, which I think is going to be much more of a repeat, 2022, he was 19th. Solid numbers, right? Not bad. But what is the upside here? Lockett, and now you add a third wide mm-hmm. receiver. And hopefully, we don't know what's going to happen with Walker and Charbonnet, both injured at the moment. I'm not a huge fan. I think that the QB situation is as good as it is going to get, and it was better than we thought, and it can produce good enough numbers. But right now, I think he's being overhyped because the guys underneath him, even though they aren't as – they just aren't as, like, the sparkling gem. DK Metcalf looks the part. He is a really, really terrific player. But if you're going to have to pay $26 for him, once again, either jump up or wait around and go down and get, you know, Chris Olave and Ridley and all these other guys that I think can return the same amount of value for far less money.
Yep. I'm with you there. It's just too many people there now. What is he really?
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Both of those guys I love, and I've sang their praise. They're just too high currently as far as draft value.
Hasn't been consistent enough for me.
Yeah. I get the upside. It's kind of like the Debo thing, to be quite honest. Debo was number two. He was number five. And then their situations have just changed.
All right. I got one more. One more guy. We haven't talked about him at all, like at all. So I don't really know how people feel one way or another. But it's going to be TJ Hockenson for me. He's almost at $14 now. What has TJ Hockenson done to get us to a $14 level at tight end?
Nothing.
Right? The potential's there. He's always had that potential. He could break out and be that guy. So he got traded to Minnesota last year, right? He played there 10 games. He was good. He had 60 catches in those 10 games. So he was very solid. 60 catches for only 519 yards, or 8.7 yards per catch. It was down. He only had 3 touchdowns in 10 games. That's not a big number. That's not a big number at all. And in reality, you added a better wide receiver too, I believe, in Jordan Addison than what Adam Thielen had become. So there's a better player, I think, taking away targets. His yards per catch last year was big. It was bigger because of his 15.2 he had in Detroit. He had 15.2 yards per catch while he was in Detroit. So that's why he's, you know, even that number. But he was fine. He was just fine. But is he good enough to go $14 there? Or would you just rather, let's go take a shot on David Njoku for $2 or Evan Engram for $3? Or I'll take Dallas Goedert for $5. You know, in reality, what I really would do is save. It doesn't seem like a lot of money, right? But it is. I would save the $8 and take Kyle Pitts because I think there's a lot more potential there. Not saying I like Hockenson. He's a good player. He can be a good tight end, but I've never been a big proponent of spending on tight ends, and I can't see myself. It's $14 for Hockenson, like, not doing it.
Yeah, you're paying for. I mean, I think I don't necessarily disagree with the amount you're paying for him because he probably will be in that top five range, but I don't know if he can really jump up. I just think that tight end position. Are you really gaining that much on the compared to the next tight end down? I don't know. Like. Obviously, in 2020, he was the 5th overall best tight end. In 2022, last season, he was the 4th. Totally get it. He got a ton of targets last year, 129 between the two teams. But I don't think you're going over that. I don't see it either, to be quite honest. I can understand why people would draft him in snake. I just can't imagine putting that money towards him when I could be putting it towards another guy. So I do get it. I feel that way, to be completely honest. I feel that way about most tight ends,
though. I do, too. And that's where it's like, why am I going to spend that on him?
Right,
like, What's the point? Like, yeah, you save that $8. I'd rather you save that $8 on him on get Pitts or even lower. You go get like Marquise Brown or Drake London. Throw a guy like that on your bench or, you know, get a couple different receivers. Go get that kind of guy. There's players you can get.
Yeah, I have a hard time. First of all, Travis Kelce is so over, like, he's not overly priced. He's priced correctly. I just can't imagine spending a fourth of my budget on a tight end, right? No matter how good Travis Kelce is. And then Mark Andrews is obviously dropped down, and I got him last year, and it burned me for the most part. He had a couple of really, really good games, but overall not worthwhile. You have Kittle, who's Hockenson, who solid. But is he worth, you know, double-digit money? Like, I don't know if he's going to change your team that much. And then you have Kittle, who hasn't ever been able to put it together fully yet. Like, yep. He was right on the precipice. We thought he was going to be the next great thing, but we just talked about it. Very, very loaded. And then you have Darren Waller, who, I know everyone is going to jump on that hype train because he's in New York now and this and that, and he's done it in, when he was with the Raiders, blah, blah, blah. But I have a hard time with that one too. So I end up going further and further down the list because I don't want to spend a ton on tight end. So
yep.
I agree with you, but I'm jaded.
I'm with you. All right, there we go. That is it for players we're avoiding in auctions for 2023. Talk to you guys next time.